Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Now, I want you to look with me this morning in John chapter 3. And there's one word in this chapter that's working in my heart. How are we going to look at it this morning? The Bible said, and by the way, this is probably the most familiar chapter in the Gospel of John. Of the four Gospels this morning, John is my favorite because it presents him as the Son of the living God. And this is probably the most well-known chapter in the Gospel of John. Bible said in chapter 3 and verse number 1, y'all know what this means? That's a deacon's wife that said that. Can you believe she said that? John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher, that's what the word means, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest. Now I want you to help me with the next word. It's what? Except God be with thee. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, help me with the next word. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How? And it's not the how, it's the who. But how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. What's that next word? A man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, or said unto thee, ye must be born again. Look at verse 27. And Jesus answered and said, a man can receive nothing. What's that next word? It be given to him from heaven. I'm interested in that one word this morning. And of course, I'm going to look at Nicodemus' life as I look at it. Except thou be born again. That is an interesting word when you look in the Gospel of John. Matter of fact, it's found 13 times in the Gospel of John. 4 or 5 different times in my text this morning. It talks about except. Matter of fact, the word is found 72 times in our Bible this morning. And he says, except you're born again. How the only way you can go to heaven is to be born again. Except that are born again. And I want to say this to you today. When you come to this chapter today, there are three main parts of this chapter today. First of all, there's a birth from above. That's verses 1 through 9. There is a birth from above. Number 2, verse number 10 through 21, how there's a Savior from above. And then verse 22 through 36, how there's a witness from above. And I want to say this to you this morning. You'll never understand the last two until you understand the first one. There is a birth from above this morning. And the Bible says here in this text here today, except have men be born again. Except a man be born again. You say, preacher, what does that word except mean? It means the difference is heaven and hell. That's the difference. It's the difference in heaven and hell. You say, what's the difference? It means joy. All right, it means sadness. That's the difference this morning. How the difference is, it's either rejoicing or it's regret. And the Bible said here in this text here today, except have men be born again. And Jesus kept telling Nicodemus that. Except. Some of you may be saying this morning, well, preacher, I'm a member of Amazing Grace. Well, that's wonderful. I am too. But I'm not going to heaven because I'm a member here. I'm going to heaven because I got saved. You say, well, preacher, I've been baptized. Well, that's a wonderful thing. I've been baptized twice. And I've been baptized three times. One of them by the Holy Ghost. But listen to me. That didn't save me this morning. You say, well, preacher, I'm a good person. Well, except you're born again. You say, preacher, I'm good to my family. Yeah, but except you're born again. You say, preacher, I pay my bills. Yeah, but except you be born again. You say, preacher, I'm good to my family. Yeah, but except. Are y'all with me this morning? Except thou be born again. And I want to say this to you today. That's the only way you'll go to heaven today. It's to be born from above. Now, I want to look at Nicodemus' life from a perspective. I don't normally look at it from this perspective. But I want to this morning. And I want to say this to you today. Except. Listen, you'll stand before God one day. And when we do sin before God, I hear people say, he's going to search the book again. That ain't going to happen. I've heard people say, I'll tell him when I get there, I don't really believe that's going to happen. When you stand before a judge, you keep your mouth shut and listen what the judge has got to say. Am I right? I remember one time getting a speeding ticket, and I'm not bragging about that. In Georgia. And I'm not bragging about that. I'm not bragging about that. I got a doozy. I got a good one. I called a lawyer. Matter of fact, the lawyer was a member of my church at that time. And I said, hey, I've got this problem. I got this ticket. I'm in Georgia. What should I do? He said, whatever you do, don't pay that ticket off. Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina at that time had a mutual agreement. If you got a ticket in either one of those states, it'd all come back to Raleigh. And he said, the preacher, don't pay the ticket off, they'll take your license. You say, how fast was you running? I ain't going to tell you, but anyhow, he said, they'll take your license. And I was going to camp meeting at Brother Sammy Allen's. Boy, it messed my meeting up bad. It messed it up. I was all confused, upset. And there's a story behind it. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. But to make a long story short, before I left Georgia, I went to Chatsworth, Georgia. I went into that little courthouse where that judge was, and I pleaded my case. I said, sir, I'm a preacher in North Carolina. You probably don't believe that. And I am so sorry for what I've done. And I am guilty, and whatever you do, I deserve it. I'm guilty. And a case closed. And you say, what did he do? He had mercy. Hallelujah. And he had mercy. And he took one of those numbers on our, made a zero out of it. You say, what was the other one? I ain't going to tell you, but listen to me. But anyhow, when I got done saying what, listen, I shut my mouth. I stood there in mercy. I stood there trembling and mercy as I stood before that judge. And I'll say this to you this morning. There'll be a day you'll stand before a thrice holy God. And when you stand before him, you'll not say, well, now, you know, I done that. No. There's not going to be no days like that. Except you're born again. Except you're born again. Hey, except you're saved and born again this morning. I want to go slow this morning because don't you get the main part of my message today. I want to look at a side of Nicodemus I don't normally look at. First of all, notice in verse 1 and verse 10. Bible said in verse number 1, watch this verse. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Look at verse 10. Jesus sanctioned and said unto him, art thou a master of the Israel, and knowest not these things? I want you to know, first of all, his religion today. Nicodemus was a very religious man. He had religion. He's a very religious man. As a matter of fact, if you study about him today, Bible said in verse 1 that he was a Pharisee. Do you know who a Pharisee was? A Pharisee was somebody that knew the law. He knew all about the law. And he knew about the law. He lived by the law. And in many ways, he would be one of the very best neighbors you could have. Because he lived by the law, he was a Pharisee. But there was one problem. Though he kept the law, though he was a good neighbor, though everything looked good, he was lost. Except, he's a good neighbor. Yeah, but except. Preacher, he gives. Yeah, but except. Preacher, I go to church. Yeah, but except. Hey, preacher, I read my Bible. Yeah, but except. Are you listening to me? Notice his religion. He was a Pharisee. But also in verse number 1, it says he was a ruler of the Jews. He was highly esteemed among them. His conduct was unquestionable. Are y'all hearing me preach? His conduct was unquestionable. He was a master or a teacher or a preacher of Israel on that day. In other words, when you looked at Nicodemus, it would be looking like at Billy Graham today. I don't know what you think about Billy Graham. I'm really not interested in what you think about him. I know what I think about him. I think I'm going to be so far back at the judgment seat, I won't even be able to see Christ. He'll be in front of me. And boy, the people, the multitudes he's had say. And you that's going to the library, you're going to see that down there. And it would be like, the Bible said here's a master of Israel. He was a teacher, he's a preacher. And it would be like Billy Graham standing out in our day. He's the America's president. He's America's pastor, I should say. He's American's president's pastor down through the years. And so it would be with Nicodemus today. Nicodemus was the theologian of that day. His religion, he knew it all. He knew every bit of it. He knew it all. He knew the law. He was commended highly. And they respected him because of who he was. But except, listen to me. Religion will keep you out of jail. But it takes salvation to keep you out of hell. The devil don't care how religious you are. The devil don't care how relentless. By the way, he'd rather get you religious than to get you off the bar stool. You say, how do you know that? I know that. Because them old boys on the bar stool know their need. They know they're going to hell. They know they're lost without God. But when you take a good dose of religion, and religion, are you listening to me? I want to tell you, it's hard for them to say how they're lost. Let me tell you something today. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how much you give to the church. It doesn't matter how good you are to your wife. It doesn't matter how good you are to your neighbor. Except you be born again. Are you listening to me? Notice his religion. Notice the second thing about Nicodemus. You don't want to see his religion, and I'll say this one more time. Not one ounce of your human effort has anything to do with salvation. I'll hear what I just said. You say, don't you think we ought to do right? Well, sure, I think you ought to do right. Don't you think you ought to be good to your wife? Well, if you want some supper, you better be. I believe all that. But that doesn't have one thing to do with being saved. That doesn't have one thing to do with being saved. If you believe you're saved because you're so good, Jesus Christ made the biggest mistake any human being ever made when he crawled on the cross of Calvary. Are y'all hearing me? But he didn't make a mistake. It's by grace, thank God. It's not by your human effort. It's not by your works. It's not by your attitude. It's not by your conduct. It's by grace. Are you listening? Paul said they do frustrate the grace of God. They're making the grace of God something that it's not. And Paul is trying to get those Galatians, see where our head reference to a while ago. It's Calvary. It's Calvary. Are you listening to me? Oh, listen, it's because of the cross. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory. I say that the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by Calvary, thank God. And by the way, I'll say this. That puts everybody on the same level. I don't care if your name's Rockefeller. Your last name is Potts. It puts everybody, of course, Rockefeller and Potts are pretty much on the same level. So, but anyhow, Miss Christian said, I ain't seen none of that. But anyhow, listen to me. It doesn't matter what your name is. When you look to Calvary, everybody's on the same level. Are you listening? We come as a bankrupt sinner. Lost without God. Nothing in my head or brain. I ship it to the cross. I claim, thank God. It's my grace. It's my grace. Paul said, you do frustrate the grace of God. when you try to offer human efforts. No second thing. You don't want to see his religion. I love this. Look at verse number 2. The same came to Jesus by night. I don't want to see his religion, but then I see his repentance. The Bible said the same came to Jesus by night. There come a turning point in his life. There come a time in his life. There come a time in his life. He realized there needed to be a tremendous change. It's called repentance. Now, you've heard me say this, and by the way, I've got a birthday this month. It's the 22nd day of October, 1970 was when I was born. And that's exactly right. And I was born December, when was I born? I said October 22nd, 1970. And that's when I was born again. Don't tell you about that night of getting saved. I'd already under conviction. I'd heard a man preach by the name of Brother May a few months prior to that, and I got under conviction and never got away from him. I never got away from my daddy's preaching. I was under conviction. And I was dating a wonderful Christian lady at that time. On Thursday night, she asked me, I can't remember, but I'm sure she did. I said, can I come and see? The only way I could go see her during the week is go to church. I really wasn't wanting to go to church. That wasn't my thing. But if I could be with her, well, I'd have went and seen the Pope, man, if I could have been with her. I didn't have a death beat, so I could be with her. So I went to church with her that night. And to make a long story short, men of God, I knew who he was, Dr. Old Brother Ivy Couch, preached that night. I was already under conviction before I got there. And it's about 8:30 we got out of that little Southern Baptist church that night. Got in the car, started down the road. She lived about a mile below the church. Now I pulled into the driveway. I can remember as clear as yesterday. Turned in the driveway. Started to give her some sugar. You said, you kissed your wife before you got married. You better believe it. I shouldn't have said that. Y'all did not hear what I just said. Don't listen. Don't do what I say. What are you smiling at? I can't believe I said that. I preach again that stuff. Now remember, that was B.C. Do you know what B.C. is? Before Christ. Now I got saved just a few minutes after that. Well, I got out of that one, didn't I? Amen. We're going to move on with this service. Listen to me. She's getting ready to get out of the car. And I looked at her, and here's what I said. I said, I need somebody to pray with me. I was under conviction. I need to get saved. And I don't remember what Brother Couch preached on that night. I was under conviction before I went to church. And I asked her, I said, look, I'm going to go get my dad to pray with me. She knew I needed God. And I kissed her. She knew I needed God. She didn't get right to say amen right there, but anyhow. I said, I'm going to go get my dad to pray with me. And I said, will you go with me? She said, let me go ask Mama. She ran in the house, asked Mama, came back out. Her mama's Christian, loved God, understood what I needed. If I was going to marry her daughter, I need to get saved. So anyhow, she came back out, got in the car with me, and here's what I started to say. The same came to Jesus by night. That was a turning point. And I'll say this to you this morning. That night I reached down on the left side of my steering wheel and started to crank out 62, you don't know what. I really am a Chevrolet, man. She's got a Ford. And I started to crank it and started back out of that driveway. I'm really not so sure that's not when I got saved. Now I went on, daddy prayed with me, went through the whole nine yards. But when I turned, are y'all hearing me this morning? You don't only see his religion, you see his repentance. The same came to Jesus by night. Oh, listen, and there come that time that he turned. He knew he needed something. And I'll say this could be your day. This could be your hour. This could be your time that you turn from your old life and turn from a life of sin and turn from a life of condemnation and turn to the Lord this morning. You remember that turning? You remember that day, that night, that evening? You might not remember the day. And by the way, don't you let the devil take dates and beat you to death. The only way I know the date when I got saved, I didn't know it till computers come out. And you could run the date back. And I knew it was the third week of October because that's the week they always had revival at that church. And I knew that, you know, God forbid Baptist Church ain't change any dates. You got to have them same time. And I knew what date or what week it was. And years ago, got a computer, run the time back. And I and the Holy Ghost said, and I saw it was the 22nd. And when I saw it was the 22nd, Holy Ghost said, that's right, that's it. Are y'all hearing me? So here's what I want to say to you this morning. It doesn't matter about a date. But it does matter about a time. Oh, that was a time that you turned from. Oh, you realize you're a sinner and you turned from your situation, thank God, and made a move and turned to God. Amen. You know what repentance is? Repentance is turning from. Repentance is a change of mind. Repentance is going in the opposite direction. Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Let's read verse 5. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repenteth of. But the sorrow of this world worketh death. Now I see the sorrow of this world every week in jail. And I tell them boys, I said, look, man, if you repent because you're in jail, forget it, you're wasting my time. Are y'all hearing me? You don't repent because you're in jail. Of course, that's a good thing to repent too. But that's not what saves you. Some of them guys, they feel sorry for themselves because they got caught. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Godly sorrow worketh through. That means you're sorry. You're a sinner. That means you know you ought to go to hell. And that means you know you ought to be in hell. And you desire to go to hell. That's godly sorrow. Are you listening to me? And I'm saying, oh, Nicodemus, the same came to Jesus by night. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. By the way, that word promise don't have an S on it. Promise, not promises. Promise, the second coming. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'll just say this today, and I know that verse is hard on the Calvinists, but I got some other verses that's hard on them too. All men ought to be saved. All men can repent. All men ought to turn to God. And I thought about this when I studied yesterday. The Bible said in verse number 2 that it came by night. The same came to Jesus by night. He's made a move. God has spoke to his heart. He has saw his need of the Savior. And he's made a move. This may be the day you need to make that move. You say, what's the difference, heaven and hell? And if Jesus come today, you'll be left behind. This may be your day. This may be your turning point. This may be your night. The Bible said the same came to Jesus by night. I looked at that and I thought, why did he come by night? I believe it could be one of four reasons. I believe he come by night, number one, because he meant business. That night I got saved, I didn't want to wait the next day. That night I got saved, I need to get saved right then. I couldn't wait no longer. I was under conviction. I was bothered. I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell. Thought I was going to go to hell before I got saved. You know what I heard crazy preachers preach before? You ought not get saved because you're scared. I'm going to tell you exactly why I got saved. I got saved because I was afraid I was going to burn in the charred walls of hell. That's exactly why I got saved. That's pretty good reason, isn't it? That's what I'm saying to you. I believe to come by night number one because he meant business. He wasn't going to wait till the next day. And by the way, you don't need to wait till the next day. You need to get saved right now. Hey, right now, while I'm preaching, right now is a good time. I believe he come by night because he meant business. I believe he come by night because he didn't want to be bothered. He's a ruler of the Jews. Everybody asked him questions. Everybody bothered him. He didn't want to be bothered. I believe number three, he come by night because he didn't want nobody talking out of it. Oh, y'all hear me preach? Yeah, as good a person as you are, a man that knows the law like you know the law, a man that can tell you, why, you know you're saved. Hey, let me tell you something this morning. It's not what you know, it's not the things you do that makes you saved. It's the person that you know. I believe he come by night because he didn't want nobody talking about it. Then I'll say this. He come by night because every sinner comes by night. What do you mean, preacher? You're in darkness. We're all in darkness. Where's daylight or dark? We're in darkness if you're saved. And I want to say to you this morning, he repented. Oh my, you see his redemption. But thank God you see his repentance. He turns from his religion and everything, thank God, and comes to the Savior. Notice the third thing quickly. You don't only see his religion, you see his repentance. But I believe you see Nicodemus, you see his respect. Look at verse 2. The same come to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, recognize him as a teacher. We know that thou art a teacher that come from God. For no man can do these miracles except thou doest, except God be with him. You see, he recognizes the lordship of Christ. He says, hey, look, I know nobody can do what you're doing unless you're Lord, unless you're Christ, unless you're who you say you are. And he was attracted to Jesus because of the miracles that Jesus did. By the way, Jews always require a sign. And he was attracted to Jesus because of the miracles. But I want to say this morning. His miracles drew many after him, but only a few to him. John 6, they were singing about it the other night. If you just notice how there's a multitude because of what he fed them. But if you look at the end of that chapter, you'll find they all turned and went away. His miracles drew many after him, but only a few to him. But here's one of them that it did. And I want to say this to you. Hey, he comes. And by the way, he didn't come in a rebellious spirit. He didn't come arguing. He didn't come trying to correct the Lord. And he's a Pharisee. He's the ruler of the Jews. Hey, the rest of them didn't do it that way. Hey, they would argue and fuss and carry on with the Lord. And I'll show you that in just a minute. But he respected the Lord. He realized, and I'll tell you something this morning. Do you realize who he is today? And respect him as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings today. You'll never get saved. He's your only hope today. He's your only ticket to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way this morning. You got to respect who he is. Are y'all with me this morning? Notice the third thing. You don't see his religion. You see his repentance. You see his respect. But I love this. You see his regeneration. Look at verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily. Verily is one thing. But verily, verily is quite another story. I say unto thee, except. And Nicodemus, I'm going to tell you something. I realize who you are. I realize you've studied the law. I realize your position. I know all that. But Nicodemus, what you need to know is you've got to be born again to go to heaven. I don't care if you are a member of an independent Baptist church. I don't care if you do come to Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I don't care if you do come to the greatest church in the world. Frog that won't croak on its own pond ain't much of a frog. I don't care if you come to the greatest church in the world. I don't care if you have the greatest pastor in the world. I don't care if you have the greatest deacons in the world. I don't care if you have the greatest Sunday school teachers in the world. I don't care if your church is known worldwide. And by the way, it is. I'm in the middle of Timbuktu sometime and watch the service. I do. And here's what it starts to say to you. Notice what he's saying. His regeneration. The Bible said there in verse, except you be born again. I know about verse 1 and 2, he's saying. I know about your situation. But Nicodemus, you've got to be regenerated. You've got to be born again. There's something that's got to take place in your life. And listen, Nicodemus didn't understand that. Notice what he does in verse number 3. Bible said in verse number 3. Or let us read verse 2. The same came to Jesus tonight and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, which come from God. For no man can do those miracles which thou doest except God be with. He recognized him who he was. He respected him. But in verse 3 is where you get to regeneration. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born, which is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, hey man, You're smarter than that. Jesus in verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot," listen, "except he be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, I've heard that verse argued all my life, what that water is. Of course, Church of Christ goes crazy on that. And there is a water birth, am I right? That's natural. But there's also the washing of the water by the Word. And that's also, and except you born of the Word of God, you're not going to be saved. You know, last time I checked, it takes two to have a baby. Am I right? Well, one can have a baby, but poor, I got to get off of that. Of course, the society we're living in right now, I ain't sure about anything this day and time. But last time I checked, it's normally a man and a woman. Am I right? Look at me. Don't look at me like that. Can I takes two. And can I say this to you? Some of people ain't sure about that. Let's talk to them after service. But listen to me. Did you know it takes two to be born again? It takes two for the natural birth. It takes two for the spiritual birth. You say, what do you mean it takes two for the spiritual birth? Well, number one, the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Then he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed. That's the seed we're born in. Corruptible seed. You see, that corruptible seed, that seed is planted into a woman. And that woman gives birth 9 months later. And the Word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, incorruptible seed. The Bible's incorruptible. It's a seed. And when that seed is planted in your heart, it brings forth life. You see, it don't only take the Word of God, it takes the Spirit of God. The seed is planted, and then the Spirit of God gives birth to that. You're born again. That's called conviction. You ever seen a woman in labor? Having a baby? I wish everybody could see what I see while I preach. You ever seen a woman in labor? I guess they give them shots now to keep them hurt. I don't know what they do about that stuff. It's been 4 days since my wife and I had any youngins, but listen. Labor. And you know what the Spirit of God does? It puts you in labor. It puts you in conviction. It hurts. It keeps you awake at night. You can't sleep. You can't eat. You can't rest. I mean, you're sick on your stomach. You're not sick on your stomach. You're sick on your heart. You see, it takes two to have a birth. It don't like the natural. And Jesus telling Nicodemus this, hey, look, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, the seed of the Word of God's got to be planted. And then the Spirit of God's going to put you under conviction. You're going to travail. There's going to be conviction. You're going to be under, hey, are you listening to me? There's no conversion without conviction. And I'll tell you something this morning. Conviction just simply means you realize your need of God. You don't have to walk around like this all your life. You'll say, why are you doing that? I'm talking about a heavy load of conviction. Oh, that's where I was at before I got saved. That night I got saved, the condemnation got lifted. And the first time in my life, thank God, I had peace with God. The battle's over. Are you listening? So notice, we got to go eat. Notice this. The regeneration. He's explaining to Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Just like a woman giving birth to a child. The Spirit of God gives birth to the spiritual birth. You heard the Word of God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why we support missionaries. We get that Word of God out there. I'll tell you something. This Bible is powerful. And when it's preached, it goes forth and it speaks to hearts. You see his regeneration. He gets born again. Titus said in Titus 3:5, not of works of righteousness which we've done. Boy, I could preach 1 hour right there. Not of works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You got born into the family of God, and the seed was planted in your heart. That's why you need to come to church. That's why you need to hear the Word of God. That's why we give out gospel tracts, thank God. It still works. It still works. I don't know how many people I've seen saved this year by giving out gospel tracts. That's the truth. I ain't got time to tell you about it, but listen to this. It's you're regenerated. You're born again. You're saved by the grace of God. You say, well, will I know if it happened? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know if you're physically alive? Have you been born? Or am I looking at ghosts? I'm a little scared how many's here. Good. You know you was born into this world. I was born in this world in the Barker family, 38, 39 years ago. Are you listening? And I'll tell you, I was born in God's family 51 years ago. He said, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Except. You say, preacher, I'm a good young'un. Yeah, but except you'll go to hell. You say, preacher, I do what mom and daddy says do. Yeah, but except you go to hell. Hey, preacher, I'm good to my dad. Yeah, but except you go to hell. I preach, I give good. Yeah, but except you go to hell. Nicodemus, except you're born again, you're not going to heaven. I got to close. You see his religion. You see his repentance. You see his respect. And then you see the results. I'm not going to preach this. But you know what the results are? Oh, we got plenty of time. It's just 15 after 10. You know what the results are? That's in Alabama. But listen to this. You know what the results are? You know how I know Nicodemus got saved? Let me give you this real quick. When you come to John chapter number 7, don't turn. But in John chapter 7, they're ridiculing the Lord. They're making fun of the Lord. And you know what they said in John 7, verse 45 through 53? Those Pharisees are laughing at the Lord. Nicodemus one time was with that crowd. And they're laughing and they're ridiculing him. And he said, here's what they said. Are you not a Galilean? Let me tell you down to our language what that means. That means like city people making fun of us Southerners. I don't know if it does any. And y'all pray for me because I'll be in Yankee Land next Sunday. I really will. Does it bother y'all when somebody in New York comes down and kind of makes fun of us? Y'all say y'all. I say yeah, and I'm going to keep saying y'all. I don't want to say y'all. I say yuns, come on back. If you think I talk funny, go to Robbinsville. They don't even know what a car is. It's a rig. Think I'm getting a new rig. I think of a mule and a team of mules and wet wagon when you say that. But hear what I'm saying. You know what those Pharisees done? They said, aren't they a Galilean? It's like city folk criticizing country folk because of the way we talk. You wouldn't believe what I hear sometimes. I go places and preach, and they'll come out the door and say, boy, you're country, ain't you? I say, thank God, yes. You talk funny. I say, you do too. But notice what happens. The results of him get born again. You know what he does in John chapter 7? He stands up for the Lord and takes a stand for Christ. He was with that crowd that was doing that. Now he's standing for the Lord. But let me give you another good evidence he got saved. When you come to John chapter 19, guess who come to the tomb to get the body of the Lord Jesus to anoint it with aloe and anoint it with the ointment? Nicodemus. Are y'all hearing me? Nicodemus got past the accept. And there'll be some of you in this room this morning. If you could just get past accept, you'd get saved today. This could be your day. This could be your time. And I'll say, if you could just get past. But accept. Listen to me this morning. I don't care what you're putting in front of that. It ain't worth it. Is it worth going to hell over? Well, preacher, you just don't understand who my daddy is. I know who your daddy is. He's a fallen race like the rest of us. He's a sinner without God like the rest of us till you get saved. And I'll tell you something this morning. Well, no, preacher, you just need to know this. I make straight A's. Well, la-di-da. I make straight. What was the debate when we went to school? L. Oh, yeah. L. You say, what does that mean? Fire. I don't care what your education status is. I don't care what your social status is. I don't care how far up the ladder you are in society. Except. You'll never get any higher in this world than Nicodemus was as far as status was social. But Jesus said, except you're born again. Except. I close with this. You see, see his religion. You see his repentance. You see his respect. You see his results. Then you see his remembering. Do you remember? What? Let me ask you this question. What do you remember about Nicodemus? I love what my wife just said a while ago. When it comes time to cross the river, you look down at the house she lived in a coffin. She don't want you to have any doubt about where she's at. I think I may have said that Friday night preaching. And I'll say this to you this morning. His memories. When I remember Nicodemus, that's the man that come to Jesus by night and got by all the accepts. He put all the accepts aside. He laid all the accepts aside. Junked every bit of it. Come to God as a bankrupt sinner. And realize his need of God. It was a turning point. And listen to me one more time. Will you come over here? Listen, don't play yet. I told a woman to do that last Sunday while I was preaching. I said, ma'am, come to the piano, but don't play. She got to that piano, and I'm telling you, you could hurt it in the next county. Didn't she? But here's what I'm going to say. I do want you to play, but just not yet. This could be a turning point for you. I sat there thinking while Brother Matt was leading the choir, doing a good job. I remember the day. I believe Brother Jerry remembers the day the way he was acting a while ago. I bet Brother Ted remembers the day, Miss Glory. And I'm sure y'all do. I'm sure you do. You got to be saved to live with him. Are you listening? I'm sure you remember the day. But you know what? There could be a young person in this room this morning. A child, a mom or dad. This could be your day. 5 years from the day, you could look back and say, I remember the day. I remember that Sunday morning. It is October 9th. 10th. I remember October 10th. I remember October 10th, 2021. Is that what year we're in? 2021. Are you listening? I look back. I remember that Sunday morning. We was getting ready to go eat 13 bones food. We was getting ready to celebrate Pastor's Appreciation Day. That was a Sunday. I remember that day. Some of you need to make a memory this morning. Well, preacher, I'd come down that aisle, but what's your accept? I want to ask you one question. Whatever your hang-up is, here's one question. I'm done. Is it worth spending eternity in a blistering, burning fire forever? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is your pride worth going to hell and burning forever? You say, preacher, do you actually believe that stuff? You see that book laying right there? That's what that book says. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And every nation, every individual that rejects God. Well, preach, I'd come, but except. What's your except? Let's stand together.